And Bart and Hahn on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Bart and Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. We're also brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Hey, Bart, let's go around the NFC East because the worst division in football.
They changed the name. I thought it was the NFC Least.
Least, yeah. Well, the worst division in football turns out to be the most interesting when it comes to headlines and drama and everything else that's going on. It's funny how when we were talking with Stephen A. and you said he said how he wants to have on maybe like on his new show he might have on a soap opera star or two, right. And you took that right away as like, oh, so you're going to have somebody from the Dallas Cowboys on? Is that what you're saying? Because that is one of the great soap operas in football. But let's go around the NFC East because there's headlines all around. And I want to start. Let's start first place to last place. Let's do it that way so it's easier. We can all keep up. So the Washington football team is the first place team. They win the division. They're going to the playoffs. They're playing the Bucs. And that is this weekend. And I got to get your take on this because I know you love Chase Young.
I do.
You love everything about that kid. You
should have been a Giant.
Well, again, we talk about tanking and winning and all that other stuff. I get so confused because I never know what I'm supposed to feel. But when it comes to Chase Young, he's a young player, but he's become a voice of leadership on that team, believe it or not. He's really emerged as somebody that is setting a new standard there. You love the way their ends can get to the quarterback. And, of course, now with Tom Brady, you want to see what that matchup looks like. And Chase Young, I feel like – I want to know what you think of Chase Young coming out and basically saying, I want Tom Brady. Yelling it around the field. I want Tom Brady.
Yeah, way to go.
And then his mom even – is talking about how she would be speechless just to see her son sack Tom Brady in a playoff game. The Bruce Arians didn't like it too much. But you played. You're the can't-wait guy. You're a guy that had a lot to say a lot of times before games, after games, even during games, I'm sure. I wish we could get some mic'd up of you, by the way. So when you see this from Chase Young and you know, and Bruce Arians saying, hey, look, be careful what you wish for, right? Mm-hmm. What do you feel about this?
I mean, Chase Young should be jacked up on Mountain Dew. He should be feeling good and feeling himself because all he's known is success, right? He's been in Ohio State. He was successful. The team was successful. You know, he goes to Washington, and even though this is the worst year in the division in a long time, they won it. So he's feeling good about himself, and he's feeling good about his teammates. See, but sometimes you have to understand, sometimes you write a check that your teammates got to cash, right? So right now, it's all good because he's feeling good about himself. But what about Kendall Fuller? What about Ronald Darby? What about all those guys that got to go against Antonio Brown? Mike Evans, is he healthy? Godwin, Cameron Brate, Shady McCoy, Gronkowski. Those are the guys that's going to get that action. You know, and all he need to do is to be a historian of the game. Be a historian. Go back to when Mike Mitchell for the Pittsburgh Steelers had a lot of stuff to say, the terrific Tom terrific, the GOAT, whatever you want to call him, Nightshade, whatever alias you want to give him for the time in which you hold him dearly. But he went to work on Mike Mitchell, and he ran all the way down after a 70-yard touchdown and let Mike Mitchell know all about it. See, because it's not always about can you protect yourself, Chase Young. It's about can your teammates protect themselves. So now you put more heat on them because Tom Brady's not going to say anything. Been there, done that before. They might put some stuff in the game plan that takes to highlight some of your weaknesses, but those cornerbacks are going to get steady work all day, right? Where they just came in and said, hey, we're going to run the ball. We're going to not let these DNs get to us. You know, but now they might say, you know what, let's max them up and see if these corners can keep up with our great track stars as long as possible. So listen, this is one of those things. When you're a young player, you know, you're 21 years old. Tom Brady's been in the league for over 20 years. So he's actually been in the league longer than you've been alive. So, like, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, you never know what to expect. But listen, he might be the greatest that you've ever played against, Chase Young. You're not the greatest that he's ever played against. And you have to keep that into perspective. But come in all jacked up on Mountain Dew. Just don't become no meme. Don't become no meme. Don't become crying Jordan face if they run for like 60 yards on your side exclusively, or if they come in and they start picking on you with crack blocks from Gronkowski, or they start to double team you and take you out of the game and make you a point of emphasis. But listen, if he comes out and he calls his own shot, he wrecks the game, he gets Tom Brady you know, to turn over the football, sack fumbles, picking him up, got him skittish in the pocket, then he becomes a early hero in the eyes of a lot of people. The only good thing that he has going for him is that Tom Brady is 1-3 in nighttime games this season. 1-3, right? So if he was playing Tom Brady at, you know, a little earlier today, then it might be trouble. 10-2, right? But nighttime games, 1-3, 60% percentage rate. Maybe he got to get his nap. You know, maybe he got to figure some things out. You know, so you might, you know, Chase Young may be, you know, crazy, but he may be crazy like a fox.
Well, you know what? Old people, when they move to Florida, what do? They start eating earlier. They go to bed earlier. You know,
he's been eating extra fiber. He's been eating his prunes and all the, prunes, nightshade? Not sure. Dates. Dates.
Now, you were like this, though, so can't you certainly can relate. Like, I like that Chase Young had his Rambo moment, right? Murdoch. I'm coming for you, right? Like, that's what he's basically saying to Tom Brady. And you know what? Put all that effort on me. Go ahead and double team me. Go ahead and crack block me. Do all that stuff to me. That's fine. Because Sweat and Kerrigan then can eat. I'll take the sacrifice. You guys put all your attention on me and let those two eat. We all know, and the Giants proved it twice in Super Bowls, that they Tom did. Brady does not like it when you play the game at his feet. He doesn't like it. Don't come at my legs. Don't mess up my pocket. He does not like that. And that's what Washington does.
But
this game
is going
to be physical, and Chase Young just made it clear, be ready, because we're coming.
See, but you never know who you're going to offend. That's the problem, right? You never know who you're going to offend, because you think, okay, well, the offense is going to get pissed off at Chase Young. No, the defense may say, you touch him, okay, we going to kill Alex Smith. We going to blitz the hell out of Alex Smith. We see that calf don't work. He can't move in the pocket. So we going to scrape your quarterback up, and we going to say this is delivery, special delivery, Chase Young. We going to deliver this ass kicking to you because your youngster over there talked too much and you couldn't keep his mouth shut. So guess what? Night-night for you, Mr. Smith.
I like that. Night-night termite. All right, we move on to the Giants who did what they were supposed to do and win the last game, but obviously didn't get in because of the Eagles thing, and we'll get to that certainly in a moment. But the Giants had a 6-10 season, which by most accounts is a failure. Double-digit losses means failure. And Dave Gettleman, who's the general manager, came into this season with a little bit of heat. Would you say that the seat was hot for him? Did he have the toasty buns on when he got into the car for this season?
It was caliente.
Caliente, yeah. I like that. Okay, so I made the case on our show when we were just in New York a couple of weeks ago that I feel like regardless of what happens, you've got to stick with Gettleman, because a rebuild for a general manager takes 3 to 5 years. And you can't count this as year three, because year one, he was trying to appeal to his new bosses by building a team somewhat as he could with gum and tape to put an offensive line in front of Eli Manning and give Eli one more shot at it. It obviously didn't work. So now they had to go reset, and they went with Saquon Barkley, and they get Daniel Jones. They continue to rebuild the offensive line. They get Thomas in the first round this year, and they've got some pieces now. That defense is got a lot better this year than they've been in the past. And I feel like, okay, this guy now is starting to put the pieces in place, and now he should stay. And the Giants announced today that he will stay. Here first, John Mara on Gettleman and no movement in the front office. John Mara, the co-owner of the Giants. So what he said is what I said. Consistency for this franchise is going to be the most important thing. And you did find a coach in Joe Judge. You found a teacher for young players in this coach and the staff he put together. You saw this team trending up. The losses late in the season had more to do with Daniel Jones being injured than anything else. They're in the right place. Why mess this up? Why shake this up right now? Now, it was a caveat that Mara did add. And he said that this is year to year because you don't know what's going to happen in 21. So he's not saying that that Gettleman, who is in his 60s, would be here for the long term. What he basically was saying was we're not making any changes right now. What do you read into that part?
I mean, they're going to give him one more year because the team looked good. It wasn't about the record. It's about how it looked, right? That's what we were talking about, you know, with the Jets in the same town. It's about how it looked. It just didn't look right, right? The quarterback didn't look right. The team didn't look like they were competent. Didn't look like they had a plan. Didn't look like they believed in the coaching staff. But this is the thing. Right, Dave Gettleman this year bought himself another year. That means that he's dead man walking if they struggle again, because no team outside, they're the team with the worst record in the NFL over the last 5 years. And this year didn't push them over the top, even though that you had teams like Jacksonville that only won one game, teams like the Jets that only won two games. right? Because he has made some decisions that are a little bit controversial. I understand he was playing to his bosses and decided to go with Saquon Barkley. We don't know. He has to be part of that decision to decide if they're going to get paid Saquon Barkley what they paid McCaffrey or pay what Alvin Kamara makes if he's supposed to be considered that type of talent. Remember, he told us that he was a Yellow Jacket guy. Now, he may be a Yellow Jacket guy, but I tell you what, I'll take McCaffrey first. I'll take Alvin Kamara first, right? So if that's the case, then if he's not that, if he's not number one or number two, then what are we talking about? So, I mean, it's going to be a lot. He told us, you know, that Golden Tate was a guy that they needed to bring in, and he paid Golden Tate $35 million. Golden Tate, you know, had behavior problems, was benched this year. You know, so he's a part of some of the culture. Now, where he did hit, where he had missed before, was on Leonard Williams, because Leonard Williams looked like that was a wasted pick, and they had gave him $15 million. Now they have to decide if they're going to give him $15 million or $20 million annually on top of a $100 million contract. You know, so those are a lot of decisions that's going to make, and those are going to make or break him moving forward, because his next moves better be his best moves, because this was an admiration. And we're assuming that everybody else in this division, once Dak Prescott comes back, isn't going to be better, right? We assume that if the Washington football team goes out and finds a quarterback, a retread, right. You know, because they're going to have a lot of money as well. And they have a young team. They have a team that does something very special on the defensive side of the ball with how they built that off that defensive line. And then you have to go and look at the Philadelphia Eagles and see if they are able to trade Carson Wentz and get compensation back for him. That's going to take $100 million off their books. So that means they can go out and bring in some veteran players, maybe sign Zach Ertz back or bring some better players there. So, like, everybody in this division can't do anything but get better. But if every team gets better and the Giants gets better, you know, fourth or third, then Gettleman's going to be out of here. Junior Whopper's got to step up because he hitched his wagons to Junior Whopper Hands.
Explain who Junior Whopper is.
Well, Junior Whopper Hands is Daniel Jones because, you know, for some reason the football is a little bit too big for him. He needs like the youth football, but he has the grown-up football. So, like, he doesn't have Junior Whopper Hands. That's why he continues to drop it. You know what I mean? So, I mean, that's on Dave Gettleman because he passed on Josh Allen. He passed on Sam Darnold. Mm-hmm. He passed on Josh Rosen. He passed on Lamar Action Jackson. Everybody he did all did. That because he said that it was not a franchise quarterback in that draft. And right now we know for a fact there's at least two, maybe three, if Cleveland says, hey, we believe in Baker Mayfield.
There's no doubt about that. By the way, I figured out what your headshot that we're using on ESPN Plus today, what you look like. Bubba from Forrest Gump. You got that. You got Bubba's expression.
Scrimp, fry, scrimp, boil, scrimp, boil it, bake it, saute.
We got to do better.
Dip it.
We got to do better. All right, next up, as you mentioned, Dak Prescott, you mentioned the Dallas Cowboys, and they're a franchise where, you know, was this season a result of the fact that they lost Dak and how important he is to them, or is there more underlying? Well, first and foremost, they've got to figure out what they're doing with Dak contract-wise going forward. Jerry Jones now says that because of this season, Dak has all the leverage. Listen to this. So give me your BS translator on Jerry Jones throwing it now in Dak's lap. Oh, no, you got all the leverage. I just got a blank check. Just tell me what you want. Like, really?
Yeah, franchise is $37 million, I believe, coming up. But you think with Deshaun Watson and with Mahomes, and who knows, if Lamar Jackson goes deep into this draft, what does he get? What do he get paid? I mean, if he goes deep into the playoffs, what does he get paid?
Right. Yeah.
And if Baker Mayfield goes deep into this draft, I mean, deep into the playoffs, what am I with this draft? If Baker Mayfield goes deep into the playoffs and they feel that they're his quarterback, I think that is going to be like $39, $40 million for them as well. So now you can't offer Dak $37 million because now you got Lamar Jackson, you got Baker Mayfield, you got Mahomes, you got Watson. And, you know, we know it's not about how much you get paid, it's when you get paid. And when he gets paid, if two more quarterbacks raise the average, that franchise tag is going to get even higher. And Dak Prescott didn't have an Achilles. He didn't have an ACL. He had a broken leg, a compound fracture, which was bad. But you can come back from those a lot faster than say, the rehab from ACL or Achilles. So I think that, you know, the BS translator saying, hey, Tyron Smith, you're going to have to take a pay cut, buddy. That neck roll you wear ain't been working out for the last couple of years. You making $100 million. We got to take some of that cheese off your taco. You know, Ezekiel, You got your money 2 years in a row, bro, but we're going to have to restructure that, man. We're going to have to put some of that on the back end because we ain't going to keep paying you that type of money as well because we got to spend a little bit of money on his defense as well. I think they did it. And listen, we all know who's going to fall on the sword. Mike Nolan, have they fired him yet? I mean, because we wait every day for changes and guys say, okay, we're letting this guy go. We know if Mike McCarthy's going to survive, we know that Mike Nolan can't survive. So you know that if Mike Nolan's gone, because they got three pass rushers. They had Gerald McCoy, who was talking crap, so he's not going to be able to come back even off of injury, right? So, like, you know, they get this defense a little better. Dak Prescott was averaging 500 yards a game when he was behind the center. So, I mean, I think the future is bright. I think every year we're going to talk about Dallas should be the team to beat. And this year I think will be no different because I think if they go out and they address some defensive problems that they have on the side of the ball and they get a real, you know, good defense coordinator, then they'll have an opportunity to be, like, right where we always expect Dallas to be, right on the cusp of missing the playoffs every year.
Yeah, and if I could go back to what we opened the show with, which is, of course, the importance of the value of certain positions in this sport, it's pretty clear quarterback is so valuable, and running back relies on others, including an offensive line, as I think Zeke is starting to prove. You gave him all that money. Where's the production when the line isn't there? He needs them as much as obviously for him to be the productive player that he was before he got paid. Is he giving enough in Dallas? I think that's a huge question. Are you getting bang for your buck at Zeke Elliott in Dallas is a big question they've got to consider. And going back to the Giants, they have to consider because Saquon Barkley is going to be due to get paid as well. All right, the last team in the conference, in the division, in the NFC East, as we go around, is, of course, the team now that everybody just wants to put in timeout right now. It's just the way things ended for the Philadelphia Eagles and where they are. So Jason Kelce, who is the center on that team, admitted he was a little surprised that Doug Peterson decided to pull Jalen Hurts in favor of Nate Sudfeld in the fourth quarter of that Week 17 game against Washington, which basically allowed Washington to win the division and go on to the playoffs and knock the Giants out. And that caused a lot of controversy. Doug Peterson said that it was his move. So what you saw, though, was Kelce go up to Doug Peterson and then start talking about everybody else. And people thought that it was Kelce protesting. Kelce went to Instagram to clarify. He said on his Instagram post, on his Instagram story, he wrote a very lengthy post saying, I went up to Doug and asked him if he was taking Hurts out. He said, yes, I think Nate's earned the right to play. So I said, well, everybody else is staying in? And he said, absolutely. And then so he goes on to say, Kelce goes on to explain, at no point was anything from me or anyone else confrontational. We all knew leading into the game that Sudfeld was told to be ready to play and that Doug wanted to see what he could do in a game situation. All of us during the week leading up were excited for Nate, a guy who's been with us for 4 years, to get an opportunity in a real game to show the world what he can do. And boy, did he. We have all the complete confidence in Nate as a player. There's a reason he's been here this long and a reason the team brought him back, and that's because we feel like Nate is a guy we can win with. I need a BS translator on that one, because that to me sounds like we're trying to polish up you know what. Like, this is, I mean, he wanted to show what he could do. Listen.
Kelce showed him what he could do by throwing him a low snap early on when he get in the game. Like, you know what, man, take that with you, bro. But it's one of those things, right? Like I told you, I don't know if this was a Rudy moment. Like, everybody laid their jersey on, you know, on Peterson's desk early in the week, saying, "Hey, this is for Sud, coach. No, but it's one of those things, though. Like, when you know you have the end of the game and a guy's been practicing great, giving you great looks all year, you're saying, okay, man, we're going to put him in. It's not the fact that they put him in. It's that they put him in when it was a pivotal point of the game. You still had an opportunity to win, right? So I think that's how some teammates took it wrong, because I'm sure some players knew that he was going to play. Not all. You would definitely think that Miles Sanders knew that he was going to play, being that he wasn't happy, but he probably knew that he was playing. Now, I would expect defensive players to be like, man, what the hell are we doing? Like, Sud's in? Like, what the hell? Like, we trying to win or not? But, you know, obviously, you expect the offense to kind of understand that, hey, that was the game plan during the week. I don't know if Peterson explained it to everybody, But it's one of those things like, listen, sometimes you lose, sometimes you win the battle, you lose the war. I think right now they lost the battle, but they're going to win the war because they got the 6th overall pick. They're going to be able to make some moves. And listen, I think all will be forgotten if who they take with this draft pick is a baller. If they have a plan to get rid of Carson Wentz and get proper compensation for him, if they're able to get salary cap relief, and some of those players that were on there that may have been upset could have been cap casualties, but now because Carson Wentz is gone, you know, now you can get a lot more. You can get your salary. I mean, we don't know yet.
They don't sound like they want to move on from him.
Listen, I don't think they can't not move on from him. I think he's going to be not cooperative, understanding that he wants to go, understanding that the relationship, as many times as Doug Peterson threw him under the bus, you know, the whole Brett Favre thing earlier this year, him not agreeing with Brett, him not coming to the defense of his quarterback, his franchise quarterback, the guy that was under center, maybe not when he won the Super Bowl, but part of the team, played at an MVP level, and you can't stand up to your old buddy Brett. You can't stand up to people when they're saying, hey, man, maybe he should be benched, and then eventually you do bench him. There's no coming back from that. And when you lose, we always say when you lose the locker room, when you lose a player, like what we're watching with James Harden, you know, that he's playing, and when you talk about Anthony Davis, this is a stars league just like the NBA is a stars league. And you talk about a quarterback that has somebody that's fond of him, somebody that loves him, somebody that believes in him, standing right around the corner. And guess what? They're on the AFC, so they're not an opponent that you're directly, you know, taking Carson Wentz and making him an enemy of the state. You know, this ain't Washington. This ain't Donovan McNabb saying, you know what, Donovan, we don't think you can play no more. We don't fear you. Here, we're going to send you to Washington because we think you're a bum salad, right? This is a guy that's still young. You know, Frank Reich has to believe in him. Frank Reich's in need of a quarterback. So, I mean, it just makes sense on so many levels. So, if this is the master plan and this is how it all, you know, turns out, and the team is in a better position because now they get so much salary cap relief, then I think it's a win-win. And I think all the players will forgive it because guess what? I didn't cut you because we had some of Carson's extra bread, so we kept you around. You'll say, thank you so much, Sudfeld, for going in here and just pushing us over the edge.
You know what? The quarterback dominoes this offseason.
It's going to be crazy.
It's going to be very interesting, and maybe the very first one could be Carson Wentz, but there's going to be several of them. And it's going to make it the offseason.
Well, Brees says he's retiring, right? Drew Brees says he's retiring. Who's the quarterback for the
Saints? Sean Payton tells us that it's Jameis Winston, but that's also about who's available for
Jameis
us as
Winston.
Well.
Well, so why we didn't see Jameis? You love Jameis so much that you started the other guy, but you were hiding him from everybody. You didn't want to show everybody how great that Jameis Winston has become. Now he's not licking his fingers for W's no more. Like, come on, man. Like, if you believed in him when it was pivotal for you for the Saints, you would have put Jameis Winston in the damn game. You would have showed everybody, look at our future quarterback. Look how smart we are. When Drew Brees leaves, we're in great position because we got the first overall pick in the draft a long, long time ago. And guess what? We taught him how to think.
It's been an exciting football season, hasn't it? It's just getting started. Lucky for us football fans, there's still more action to be had. And DraftKings is here to help you make it rain. DraftKings is America's leading daily fantasy app, paying out over $7 billion to their players. That's billion with a B. Download the DraftKings daily fantasy app now. Use my promo code HAN. Bart says it better.
HAN!
For a limited time, new customers can get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes this week. That's promo code
HAN.
H-A-H-N. Get a free shot at millions of dollars in prizes with your first deposit only on DraftKings. Make it rain. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Coming up, we have audio files, and we're also going to take your calls. 888-729-3776. 888-SAY-ESPN. Barton on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance, Progressive's Home Quote Explorer, changing the way you buy home insurance. Now you can go online, get a custom quote, and save both time and money. Learn more at progressive.com. The Jets just put out on Twitter that they have completed their interview with Eric Bieniemy. So he is the hot candidate, obviously, this time around. Is I think the Atlanta planned on interviewing him on Monday. There was another team as well that it's slipping my mind. There's only six of them that have openings. So he has interviewed at least with three teams that we know of so far. They are on the bye week, so this would be the time to get him. The Jets did. And it's amazing how it used to be such a secret. You know, it always had to be, you know, according to reports, this interview is going on or that interview happened. Now it's like they go on Twitter, they put his picture up and everything. Hey, we have completed our interview with Eric Bieniemy.
Now, when they took his picture. Let me mute that.
No, that's me, actually. Go ahead.
All right, so when they took his picture, I wondered, are they doing what they do when they're trying to flatter somebody? Did they take all his Kansas City clothes off and put, like, New York Jets clothes on it?
And put
Fireman Ed behind him, like, yay!
Fireman Ed. Yeah.
So that's the funny part, right? Because that's usually
scrolling for the picture now. I want to see if I can find the photo. No, he's in his Kansas City stuff. He's on the sideline. He's like, looks like he's got the headset on. He's barking out instructions.
Okay.
There's a player behind him. It was Mahomes.
So they want to make him strong. Okay, got you. But you know, it's crazy, he's right? Because we know. So don't say it again. No, go look Petey Rosenberg on.
I'm
gonna kill you,
Eric Bieniemy, leader of men.
He's gonna kill you, lying heart. I tell you what, man. But tell me this: when was the last time, honestly? When is the last time it's been a great coach? It's been a coaching candidate that somebody was after that turned out to be a great coach.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The hot candidate that became great coach.
That everybody, not that just one team, you know, stole, like Kingsbury, like he got fired and then he got hired by the Cardinals and
it just worked. Yeah.
Was it Kyle Shanahan, right? You know, because he agreed to be the head coach for San Francisco before the Super Bowl.
Right.
Was it him? But I don't remember a lot of people trying to hire him. I can't think of the last coach that everybody – I had to have him. He's the hot guy. Got to have him. Right? Because Stefanski wasn't somebody that everybody was just covering over. Right?
Yeah, you know, it's funny that I think Matt Rhule is going to be an interesting one to watch. And just, you know, because he was a hot candidate. Everybody interviewed him. The Jets did. The Giants did here in New York. And then in other places, he was somebody that everybody seemed to want. Carolina gave him what he wanted. Now, they didn't have a great season record-wise, but it felt like things were starting to turn.
Because you think the Jets are happy they didn't get McCarthy?
Wow. Yeah. The Mike McCarthy thing is such a surprise because, you know, as we talked to Stephen A., Tom Thibodeau and his impact, taking a year off and his impact on the Knicks so far is so palpable. And yet, McCarthy took a year off and also was said to have gotten more into analytics and changed his style a little bit, went into Dallas, and you thought, oh, all right, this is a refresh for him. And, you know, he left Green Bay with a bad taste in his mouth, and he and Aaron Rodgers didn't get along. And does he now have that revival as a coach? It doesn't seem like that. But then again, he did lose his starting quarterback, so that remains to be seen. But it is a good question about that. The hot candidates, you know, the coordinators that were ready to take that step, you know, who were – I mean, Bill Belichick wasn't exactly the hot candidate all the way back then. But Robert Kraft did identify him as a guy he wanted, and boy, what did that – turned into an empire that they had in New England for 20 years that we'll see if it's
I remember over. Harbaugh wasn't the first choice. They wanted Jason Garrett.
That's right. Yeah. No, you certainly saw it, and that has worked out well in Baltimore as well. And Tomlin is another guy that just kind of came up the ranks like they do in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, everybody was like, who is this dude? How old is he?
And how – I mean, tell you what, every team in
no,
the league
no losing record.
Him.
Yeah, no losing
every
record
team
ever.
In the league would want Mike Tomlin, no question about it. But on the Jets front – we will begin with them in Audio Files. As we mentioned, so they are going through their head coaching search right now, and they announced that they met with Eric Bieniemy, and that is one candidate. They plan on talking to a lot. Joe Douglas spoke with the media yesterday, also was on the Michael Kay Show in New York on 98.7 ESPN New York, and discussed how their head coach, they're going to spread the wide net. They're not going to, you know, oh, we don't just want an offensive guy, a defensive guy. We want, what I said yesterday, is sort of the new cliche in the NFL, the CEO, the somebody who can oversee and be more of the leader in the locker room and the voice of the team. It also is going to have an impact, whoever you hire as head coach, on what you decide to do going forward with your roster, and that includes quarterback. Sam Darnold's been there for 3 years, and Sam Darnold is now a question mark instead of a guy you thought midseason, Joe Douglas said, this is our franchise guy, this is part of our future. Listen to how different Joe Douglas sounds when talking about Sam Darnold's future and the fact that that fifth-year option is coming up that they have to make a decision on and what his future is in Green. Take a listen.
There's going to be a lot of discussions in the off season. You obviously bring up a good point. That will be a subject that we'll discuss. But you know, ultimately, we have to do what we feel as in the long-term interest of the team. And that's going to be a discussion that we have with our new head coach. And there's going to be a lot, many big decisions moving forward for us.
I mean, listen.
Great analysis, Bart.
That's why I'm the best. The best there is, the best there was.
That's why he's the best analyst in the business.
The best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be. Bret Hart. But I'll tell you what. Listen, they have to get this right. And Joe Douglas understands how important this is because if this doesn't go right, this is his second.
Don't give me this, first of all, Bart. Don't give me this like you're on the outside looking in. We all know that you have insight on this. So
yeah.
Instead,
I'm looking at the facility right now.
I know. You're literally that close. You could throw a rock at it, and maybe you should. So tell me, though, what do you see happening here? What makes the most sense? And do you think it is, let's see what the head coach wants. Maybe you hire a head coach. It's like, no. Sam's my guy. I want that guy. Or we got the number two pick. There's going to be options. You've got the Mormon Mahomes. You've got Fields and what he might do in the championship game that'll open up even more eyes after watching him in the semifinal. You've got the fact maybe Jacksonville, hiccups and Trevor Lawrence says, I'm not going there. I want to go to New York. You never know. Anything's possible.
So
what do you do then if you're the Jets? What do you think's going to happen? Don't tell me what. Don't give me the analysis that I can get in the dime store. I want Bart Scott telling me about what the Jets are doing with Sam Darnold.
To me, I think they're going to give Sam one more chance. Are they going to pick up his option? I wouldn't pick up his option. Guess what? Because remember, Jamal Adams is the gift that keeps on giving. Right? So just think, okay, yeah, they have two first-round picks this year, but they have two next year. So they have the draft equity if they need to move up next year. If Sam Darnold doesn't become who they believe that he is, he's still going to be relatively cheap. They don't have to pick up his option. They can let him play it out just like Mitch Trubisky is playing it out in Chicago, and they still can take that number two overall pick and move down because it's going to be guys that are going to be clamoring to move up at number two. Because people are going to say, hey, one team I'm not doing business with, I'm not doing any business with the Patriots. But if you're Atlanta and you want to do business, if you're Miami, I'm not doing business with you. But if you're any other team in that top five, top ten, I'll move down because it's too many good players in this draft. So I can go get my pass rusher if I want to go to Penn State. I can go get, at six, I can get, receiver, right? Everybody's talking about Devonta Smith, the best receiver in the business right now. Everybody wants Chase from LSU. So you have
Chase, yeah,
Jamar Chase. So you have
Jalen
that
Waddle too,
right? So you can move down, right, and still get great players. But if I can fleece somebody, because remember what the Jets gave up to go up and get Sam Darnold, they gave up three number twos. So if I already have two number ones, and somebody wants to give me a future number one or a number one this year. If they have two, or if they want to give me three number twos this year and some cheese, because now you're moving up to two, then I'll take that. So I think that's what they do.
All right.
Is that definitive enough?
That's what I wanted. That's what I wanted. And you know what? It was so good. That's where we're going to end Audio Files. We're going to end it there. We had a couple other cuts.
I get to drop the mic.
But that's
chocolate.
It. That's a mic drop moment. I needed that. I needed that from you. An explanation I understand it. If you can get a lot for that pick, Sam's not trash. You maybe can get a lot more and build your franchise. So it's a big decision ahead for this franchise, no question about it. All right. That's Audio Files, by the way. We tend to usually have more audio, but Bart was the audio today. I needed that answer, Bart. I appreciate you for that. All right, coming up next, as we call it a day, I want to tell Bart a gym rat story and ask him if he's ever been in this situation because it's relatable to fans wanting players to only live in the gym. This story happened. It's a real story. And I want to know if you can relate to it and if you've ever had this experience yourself. That's coming up next. Barton on ESPN Radio, ESPN+. ESPN Radio presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Bart and Han Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. If you miss any portion of the show, you can always find both hours of Bart and Han posted daily as a podcast, available wherever you listen to your podcasts. And Bart, before we go, I want to point this out. Again, it's a Knicks story, but it's really relatable to any athlete. Austin Rivers on his Instagram told this story. Actually showed a story. He had a video up. The Knicks were on a 4-game road trip. They come back. His off day. The team is off. Don't have to come to the gym. And he basically wants to go to the gym, and his wife is mad at him, saying, "You've been gone all week. You did this on Christmas." And he said, "Real athletes know these problems." She's mad. "I want to hoop on my day off." Have you ever done that where you're supposed to be off and you're like, "Man, I got to get to the gym."
Yeah, or you want to get a lift or.
Yeah, I think Bart dropped out. So I think he's basically talking about how, you know, when you're an athlete, you need to have those days where you get into the gym. And that's just a funny story from Austin Rivers, who's played very well for the Knicks. All right, we've got a lot to talk about, obviously, with the NFL playoffs this weekend. What a weekend it's going to be. 6 games, 3 on Saturday, 3 on Sunday. We'll break each day down over the next 2 days with great guests as well. And we appreciate everybody for joining us as always. Bart usually gives me a little can't wait at the end of this thing, but because of audio issues, which we will figure out, we promise. Thanks for sticking with us, everybody. Bart and Han, ESPN Radio, ESPN+.